it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. It's 6:10 p.m. Central Time. Sun's starting to go down here in Arlington, Texas. I'm at Dubious Studios, the headquarters of DFW Normal, where our very gracious hosts here have allowed us to set up shop to do the Russ Belville show. We just completed the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. That was held at the Fort Worth Convention Center, and my playlist is available now on my SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. So if you missed any of what we've played for you, you can always go there to play it again and, of course, share it through all of your social media. And we just finished up playing the speech from Alexis Bortel, the 10-year-old medical marijuana patient, the refugee who had to leave Texas, make her way to Colorado so she can get the THC she needs to stave off her epilepsy. She's now something like, 17, 18 days away from a year seizure-free, thanks to that medicine. And a point was brought up in our chat room. We got a great chat room out here at cannabisradio.com. If you're listening on the page, just click on the player. There's a little, looks like a cartoon balloon. It'll be waving at you. You click on that, it'll open up a separate page so that you can get into the chat room. And in our chat room, a point was made. One of our chatters said, they aren't voting against her. They're voting against the skateboarder at the rap concert. For every one of her, there are 100 making the movement look bad. And I get the point, and I've actually made that point many times. And it's interesting because today I got the chance to meet somebody, a Texan, who's very conservative. And I was just making small talk with him, talking about this and that, and you know, disagreeing with him on the fact that America is not the number one nation in the world, statistically speaking, unless you're talking about prison population or military spending. And that's about it. But regardless, it was very interesting because we got into discussions of politics, and he's an affable guy, great to talk to. But we got into this discussion of how I agreed with the point that's being made here in the chat room, because I can understand Texas mentality. I came from Idaho and understand that mentality, and that is people aren't so much voting against pot as they're voting against potheads, right? It's not the plant itself necessarily as it is the culture and the symbology and the history that's behind it. And, you know, Leland Berger, the great attorney in Portland, Oregon, coined the term cannabigotry to describe it. Now, it's exactly what it is. It's an emotional reaction to symbols. And that's why, you know, you get an Alexis Bortel up and she's going to tug at heartstrings. And frankly, this is why the whole CBD oil thing moved as fast as it did. Remember, medical marijuana passed in California in 1996. And it was, 2004? I got to say 2008 before we had 15 medical marijuana states. I'm guessing. I'm pretty close, though. It was late before we finally reached 15, right? They went from the first medical CBD state in Utah in 2014 to having 15 of them within a year. And that's because the position was unassailable. Little kids with epilepsy, you can see them seizing, then you can see them given this oil that does not get them high, and then you can see them stop seizing. And there's nothing involved in it whatsoever that would be useful as a recreational drug product. So it was unassailable. There was, of course it passed one right after the other. And now there's kind of a backlash with what Alexis is saying, is this is actually kind of a cover. Well, she's not saying this, but I'll say it. It's a cover for these politicians to be able to say, yep, we did something about medical marijuana. We gave you the actual medical stuff, not the stuff the hippies want. So we're going to talk about that a little more when we come back from break here, because since I'm live in Texas, I'm kind of feeling it. Be right back after this. I'm Radical Russ.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platshorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com. Helping Gondrepreneurs grow.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com. And you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Thank you, Dan Michaels. Welcome back. We are live in Arlington, Texas, as it's getting toward sunset here. And we were just discussing red state attitudes toward medical marijuana. You know, this story with Alexis Bortel, a completely unassailable medical marijuana story. Little girl's got epilepsy. You give her CBD with THC. The epilepsy stops. End of story, right? That's easy. That's unassailable. But where it gets difficult, where it gets murky for people that are still opposing medical marijuana is the fear that it becomes recreational, that it becomes the marijuana culture becomes a part of that. And there's an element to which that's impossible to separate. See, I've always discussed how there's a marijuana iceberg. And it's like the people who use marijuana and support marijuana is an iceberg. And you only see the top 10% above the water. And that water line is prohibition. And that top 10% up there are going to be your artists and your freaks and your libertines and your musicians and your activists and your advocates. And then a small part will be patients and their advocates and, you know, just liberty-minded activists, right? But generally, what people are going to see from that is the tie-dye, hippie, pot, weed kind of culture. But they don't realize below the prohibition waterline that other 90% down there is mostly you and me. It's mostly people that, you know, we don't have a problem with other cultures and other people, but it's not us, right? We're just hardworking people, sometimes called corporate stoners if you got a white-collar career like I did. Or, you know, just hardworking people in, you know, restaurants and people working in janitorial, people working, you know, cubicle jobs, sales, clerks, all that kind of stuff. We just average, normal, everyday people. But we can't come out. You know, they're the people that can't come out because you lose your job, you lose your kids, and so forth. So the problem then, it's kind of a conundrum, a paradox, catch 22, if you will, is that you need more of the out people to be the typical mainstream, unoffensive folks, but those people can't come out until it's made legal, and the people trying to make it legal are the ones that contribute more to the stereotype that makes it harder to make it legal for the people that don't contribute to the stereotype to come out to make it, and then you're all caught up in that. So it's never going to be easy. You can't expect the grassroots element of marijuana reform to not want to be a part of it. What it becomes is trying to leverage the best that you can leverage in the public eye and in the presentation. Back in Portland, used to work with numerous activists that they come from a long-haired, tattoo, pierced kind of culture. But when it came time to go to the state house, they put on a coat and a tie and a shirt, you know, dressed nice, just as nice as they had. Didn't take out the piercings necessarily, but, you know, they showed the effort. And it's like, you know, if I was going to go play pickup basketball at the YMCA, if I showed up there in dress shoes that make black scuff marks all over the court, I'm not going to be very welcomed, right? You got to wear the uniform for basketball, you know, sneakers and shorts and a tank top, right? Well, that's what it is in legislating or public advocacy. You get, there's a uniform that's worn. Whether you like it is irrelevant, right? I bet a lot of those baseball managers don't like wearing tights, but it's irrelevant. That's the uniform you wear when you go to work. And you can look at it as putting on a uniform. Look at it as going into battle. I mean, I get frustrated sometimes by the folks that are like, "You gotta like me just as I am, and I'm gonna show up in my tie-dye, and I'm gonna wear a fuck the DEA t-shirt, and, you know, I'm gonna..." Well, God bless you, but you're not helping, right? There's a time and a place for that, absolutely. And understanding that is one of the hardest things we have to do as activists when we're trying to lead others and get other people involved, is to put the best foot forward, so to speak. That was one thing that was certainly welcome at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. Is a lot of professionalism in it. Very professional looking booths and great displays and great presentations by the people there. We've got a whole bunch of them we're going to play on the show for the rest of the week. So stay tuned for the rest of the week for that. We got lots coming up. But back to this medical marijuana, and you know, there's 100 of them trying to abuse it for every one that's legitimate. To me, I think that's inevitable. I think no matter how you want to divide marijuana into medical or recreational, it just can't be. It's one plant. It is hemp, and it's cannabis, and it's pot, and it's marijuana. It's one plant. We can pretend and make lines to divide it, but they won't work because nature doesn't work that way. The law of supply and demand doesn't work that way. Your legislature can pass a bill that says pi is equal to 3.0. Doesn't make it so. So I think we've got a problem in that you can never, you know, never artificially divide marijuana that way. And so any attempt you have, and people hate me for saying this, but anything you do to pass a medical marijuana law has to inevitably lead toward legalization. It's already happened in four states. And this is one of the, you know, things the opponents put out there. We can't pass medical because it'll lead to legalization. And I don't disagree with them. Because what keeps prohibition afloat? Ignorance about marijuana. What happens when you legalize medical marijuana? People become less ignorant about it. What will be their natural inclination after they become less ignorant? To end prohibition. And I've always been of that, you know, yeah, let's legalize medical first, of course, if that's what we can get done. But after that's done, we're not going to stop, are we? No, we're going to point out how, hey, look, we gave a subset of people some marijuana and nothing bad happened. Why don't we give more people some marijuana and see if nothing bad happens? And of course, after we've got four states that legalize now, that becomes even more of a concern. That becomes even more of a powerful argument. Now we've actually done it. We went from medical in four states to legal in four states, and oh my God, nothing bad is happening. In fact, we're making a lot of money. We're controlling a lot of what few harms there are through potency testing, labeling, those kind of things, educational campaigns. So as you push forward for medical marijuana, you have to keep pushing forward to it. And of course, you'll have people like, you know, Alexis and other medical marijuana patients whose position is unassailable. But trying to draw the line, no matter where you draw it, is going to have people on the wrong side of the line trying to find their way over that line. They can't not want to do that. And we can't fault people who are currently criminals for doing something that's not harming others from trying to find loopholes and ways to use a system to avoid being persecuted and prosecuted and incarcerated. You know, there's that, you know, well, there's the 100 skateboarders. I've made that point too. The skateboarders going to the dock in the tent to get their recommendation before the Cottonmouth Kings concert. But I'm not blaming the skateboarders. Hell, go for it. You got a way that you can pay $40 and not go to jail for pot? That's great. Now, what does that do to the medical marijuana movement? Well, like the chatter says, it makes it harder to pass medical marijuana because people think it's just legalization. So eventually, I think, after we pass these legalization initiatives in five more states, we get to 9 states with legalization, maybe 10 if Vermont passes its, you know, through its legislature. And then we get another Florida or Ohio and Missouri, maybe Arkansas, maybe Idaho passing medical marijuana so that we, even if we get just 2 of those states, we've got half the U.S. states that have medical. Eventually, this means that the debate has to be going to legalization because it'll be increasingly obvious that we got, you know, 10 of the 50 states, you know, 20% of the United States is legal. 50% of the United States is medical. Why are we even playing with this difference between medical and legal anymore? Let's start arguing about whether or not we should just legalize marijuana. That's where I think that is eventually headed.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Wow, man. I'm telling you, I'm jet lagged. Show's gone long. My timing is all off. We missed 420 by 7 minutes. We're 7 minutes late to 420, which means we are in imminent danger. We're going to take care of that danger with a safety briefing. We'll be right back with more from the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo with Cannamoms right after this.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's good news with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, cannabis nurse Heather.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Tokers, There's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and The Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour here, and reminding you, coming up at the top of the hour, Stoner Jesus takes over here live on CannabisRadio.com. And I'll be making my way to Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, its new location. It's got two locations now. Heading to Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo to get the update on my back tattoo. We've got to add Anchorage, Columbus, Richmond, and a little Jamaican flag. So I'll be enjoying a little bit of pain, and I might just periscope it. So if you're watching, following Radical Russ, catch me on Periscope enjoying some pain. Now, coming up next, we've got Lily Howard and her family. She spoke before Alexis got on stage as part of a panel that featured moms that were battling to work the Texas CBD oil law. This is again from Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo just yesterday.
Hi, my name is Lily Howard. I am 8 years old. I have a sister, Harper, who's 5, and a brother, Seth, who's 1. When my sister, Harper, started taking hemp 2.5 years ago, it changed my life. Instead of just doing things for her, I could help her do things for herself. Hemp helped my sister be my sister and gave us a family.
Thank you. I'm gonna try not to cry. I'm so proud of her. Thank you. Everyone has a success story. Many of us sharing the stage today are speaking of how hemp changed our lives and the lives of our loved ones. And we are no different. At just 2 weeks of age, seizures started overtaking my daughter Harper's body. We traveled the nation to figure out why. And 9 months later, we were given a diagnosis of CDKL5 disorder. At the time, in 2011, this rare and often deadly condition affected only 300 worldwide. Harper was one of them. Today, that number is doubled, almost tripled. Most with CDKL5 are confined to wheelchairs, cannot walk, talk, or care for themselves, suffer from scoliosis, visual impairment, gastrointestinal issues, sensory issues, and seizures. The worst part was hearing the words, "no known cure." I can sum up in one word how my husband and I felt about that. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. From that point on, we knew what we were dealing with. And we decided to honor Harper by learning as much as we could about CDKL5 and giving her the absolute best life possible. Our hearts went out to other families that were affected by this condition and the symptoms of it, such as epilepsy. We launched hopeforharper.com in an effort to share what we were learning with everyone around the world. During the first 3 years of Harper's life, I cried. Still crying. No, I cried. I cried every day. I cried every day, and I prayed every day that if God wasn't going to heal her, that he would take her and set her free. But that didn't happen. And when that didn't happen, I realized that it's because Harper had a mission, and then it became our mission to help her fulfill her mission. In the fall of 2013, I saw a documentary on cannabis use for seizure control. And I thought, well, we live in Texas. We can have all the guns in the world, but marijuana, even for medical use, at that time just wasn't gonna happen. In addition, we couldn't just leave 5 generations of family behind. Those were our support system and we needed them. We couldn't leave the team of doctors that we built for Harper that kept her alive each year for us. Moving wasn't an option. After extensive research, we figured there had to be an alternative, and we found one. It was RSHO from Hemp Meds. Immediately upon consumption of RSHO, Harper's seizures were cut in half. Harper went from 40 plus seizures per day to none after 6 months of using RSHO. That is the moment when Harper stopped simply existing here on Earth and she began to live. Her increased interaction strengthened the bond between her siblings, between us as her parents, her other loved ones. It took her off the failure to thrive list. We were finally able to know our daughter, her fun, loving, and sassy personality. Harper could nod yes and no. She could use her assistive device and tell us what she liked and what she didn't. With assistance, she could ride a horse, a bike, swim. She wanted to be with other girls her age, dress up, and have fun. Harper redefined what it meant to have a normal childhood. In 2015, she was crowned National America Miss Texas Princess Cover Girl. In my story, I hope that you can see at this point what is undeniable. Hemp helps. I stand here today and I encourage all of us to help others lead by example. Whether it's sharing our unique stories to educate one person, one country, the world, we need to stop fighting and start unifying because hemp helps. For those who cannot relocate to a medical marijuana state, please tell them about RSHO. It's an option that's available to them in all 50 states. You can read about it on hopeforharper.com. We need to be giving people support so they don't feel isolated and they feel encouraged to try everything that is available to them. It is surreal that today we are standing at a cannabis conference together in Texas. Because hemp helps. Because hemp helps. Cannabis encompasses many strains. And since each person metabolizes differently, one is not necessarily better than another. To me, it's like wine. Not that I drink a lot of it, but I know that there are a number of varieties out there, and everybody needs to find the one that suits them best. Cannabis is the same. There are a number of varieties, and we need to encourage people around the world to find the strain that works the best for them, and that they take what's available to them, because hemp will help them. If we as a cannabis culture cannot unify in respect, how can we petition, not fight, for what we already know? I'm going to say that again. If we as a cannabis culture cannot unify in respect, how can we petition, not fight, for what we already know? Hemp helps. We should be looking at cannabis as a first resort. Then, if needed, pharmaceuticals can step in and work with nature. Harper was the perfect balance of science and nature. She wasn't pharma-free, but hemp, without a doubt, improved and prolonged her quality of life. But it couldn't cure genetics. Sadly, January 8th of this year, Harper passed away. But cannabis left us knowing so much about her that we would never have known had it not been for her taking RSHO. We know her likes, her dislikes. I can tell you her favorite color, her favorite number, her favorite animal. We can do that because of hemp. Through sharing her journey on Facebook, Harper was able to help another little girl with CDKL5 in Brazil. That led to the Brazilian government's historic decision to approve RSHO for import, government subsidies, waiving of import taxes, and covering the cost of it under health insurance. Why? Because hemp helps. Harper left the world with one final gift. She donated the world's first 28-month daily cannabis use brain to CDKL5 and seizure research. She did that because Harper Howard wants the world to know that hemp helps. Thank you. Thank you. As I said when I started, everybody has a success story that's here. And I would like to show you via video Harper Howard's. Thank you.
Medical cannabis may not be the answer to everything for everyone, but it does help a large portion of our autism community and our special needs families. Whole plant, just like God created, because the body was divinely designed, and what we need to achieve optimal health is here. No patent required. And my son deserves access. All our children do.
That's more from the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, yesterday's proceedings at the Fort Worth Convention Center here in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm actually in Arlington, coming to you live from Dubious Studios, the headquarters of DFW Normal. When we come back, we've got more highlights from the Cannabis Expo, including Renee Petro from Canamoms and a visit with our good friend and cancer survivor Barbara Humphreys. Coming up next, right after these messages. Then make sure you stay tuned. Stoner Jesus is coming up at the top of the hour, live here on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Sun's going down here in Arlington, Texas. We are live on CannabisRadio.com. Radical Russ here, where we finished up the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. Got a couple more excerpts from that conference. Make sure you join us tomorrow. I'll have more highlights, including my personal interviews with former quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Jim McMahon, former defensive end for the University of Idaho Vandals, Marvin Washington. He's also a pro football player, too. But anyway, this is Renee Petro from Cannamoms, followed up by Barbara Humphreys. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here. Day two, early in the morning on a Sunday at the Fort Worth Convention Center for the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. And I've come back to a booth here representing Cannamoms, and we're going to speak to one of the Cannamoms right now. Tell folks your name.
Renee Petro.
Hi, Renee, and tell us about Cannamoms.
So Cannamoms is a group of moms that provide awareness of education about and access to alternative and supplemental health care options for the critically or chronically ill, medically complex, and special needs children.
So with Cannamoms, then you're dealing with a lot of these children with the intractable epilepsy, with other conditions that can be treated by cannabis oils, for example.
True. We're dealing with children of any ailment, not just epilepsy, cancer, any type of condition that would benefit from utilizing cannabis as medicine.
And tell folks your name as well.
My name's Annalisa Clark.
Annalisa, how did you get involved with Cannamoms?
I actually have a daughter with intractable epilepsy that had failed all traditional medical methods there are. And so I was searching for alternatives and tried cannabis oil and it worked, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know where. I kind of felt like I was on an island by myself. And I met these other moms. We all met online. We all met online just searching for a sense of community, searching for how to take care of our children and how to think outside the box. And at the same time, we were all not conforming with traditional methods or society. So we were constantly having to support each other from being ostracized by medical community, teachers, law enforcement, legislators for wanting to do this with our children. So we banded together 2 years ago, and it's been a fantastic movement.
Texas has had some movement on this with the adoption of a CBD oil bill. Can you explain to our listeners why that's not going far enough?
Well, I'm actually from Florida, and so we have a CBD bill that passed January of 2015. It actually went into effect, and we still have no medicine. CBD-only bills are just a ruse to make the politicians think, or for the, so that the politicians can let you all think they're doing their jobs, and they and everyone should be, you know, happy that they did something. And CBD itself is not going to help very, very small percent of the population. So it's a whole plant. So we're advocates for whole plant. We're advocates for domestic use, not imported things, but domestic whole plant, CBD, THC, THC, whatever's needed, because we know that the entire plant and all of its components are important for healing. And these CBD bills will never go anywhere. They won't be profitable for the poor people that are putting tons of money in them. And then all the patients that wait and wait and wait just for access, I fear are going to be disappointed when they see minimal results. They might see results at the beginning and then they quickly fade, and then they won't have an alternative to go to because the legislation has restricted access to everything else.
Now, you mentioned you're from Florida, so Canna Moms is a national group, I assume?
We are. We actually started in Florida, and we are a national organization, and we just started doing chapters. So if you go to the CannaMoms.com website, you can actually start a chapter in your state or local community, and then we support you in that with all of our education awareness, our legislative issues, as well as our community, with it, which is our goal would be to raise funds to have grants for people who need access to medicine, because even if it's CBD only, it's very expensive. And that's our other concern, is even the states that are legal, the people who need it can't afford it. And the states that are coming online, no one's talking about this. And so our goal is to be able to raise enough funds that we can provide grants to people who need the medicine or need relocation because it's a failed or an inactive rules in their state and they might need to go somewhere else. We all went to another state at one time and someone was generous enough to sponsor us and help us do that, and we want to be able to give back to others like we were given to.
That's beautiful. And as you've been on this journey, has this, I assume it's been incredibly difficult in a lot of ways, and had this been your first foray into activism and politics?
Yes, it has. I had never ever gotten involved with advocacy or activism, other than advocating for my children. And the politics side was very interesting. I'd never paid attention at all. And we actually had an amendment that didn't pass, lost by 2%. And I really didn't even pay attention to that at the time. And but we all testify in our state capitol. We go to all the hearings. We follow the bills. And it's very frustrating because our legislators are not willing to listen. And I think we need federal movement that will force our state legislators to listen. But they're not listening to us from a state perspective.
Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Canna Moms, because I know there's a lot of them listening out there and they want some support.
So if you go to CannaMoms.com, that is the best place to go. And from there, there's a way to start a chapter or even to contact us for help. We have pages in different areas that are regionally specific. But if you just go to the Canna Moms website, we are on Facebook as well. So you can like us on Facebook. It is an open community group, so it's not a closed group. And it is just meant for advocacy, awareness, and community support.
That's excellent. Thank you for doing what you're doing and standing up for all the parents out there that need access to this whole plant medicine. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Check them out, CannaMoms.com. I'm Radical Russ. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this with more from Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. Welcome back to the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. Radical Russ here on the floor, day one in Fort Worth, Texas. And joining me is someone I'm really, really happy to see, Barbara Humphreys. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. And what gorgeous hair you have.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to have hair now.
Last time we had spoken, you were battling cancer. You were going through chemo. You'd lost your hair. We had a great interview. Ended up in my top 10 for 2015. Tell us what's been going on for you since then.
Well, as of October 2015, I'm now officially cancer-free.
Yes.
I'm finished with all of my treatments, so I haven't even had to go back to my doctor, and it's been fantastic, and I'm growing hair in now. It's about 4 inches long and curly.
Yeah.
Now I am serving as the patient outreach coordinator for DFW Normal, so I'm getting more involved with that, and I like to help patients with as many resources as I can provide them with. whether it be links for just financial help, or I'm having people reach out to me for a lot of different reasons. I try to help any way I can.
How much outreach are you getting? Like in a week, how many calls are you going to get from people in Texas desperate for medical cannabis?
I get several messages. My inbox is always full. A lot.
It seems like for these folks that are calling you, it's got to be really frustrating and almost, you know, you'd be pessimistic as to whether or not they're going to get help here in Texas. Are things changing? Are the legislators starting to get this?
I don't know. No. I think that it's going to be a hard push. I think 2017 is going to be interesting. Do I think that we're going to get a full comprehensive medical bill here at that time, or even a full plant bill recreationally? No. I don't really know how long that's going to take. We need to get some of these politicians out, some specific ones like Sheriff Travis and Denton, and the ones that are really hard opposed to it. We need them out of office. So right now, you know, it's voting time, so we need to get out there and vote.
How has the reaction been from the public? I mean, you go around, you tell your story, and are the people of Texas starting to get it?
Yes, absolutely. I get only positive responses. People warned me when I started this that I would get a lot of negative. To be honest with you, I really don't. A lot of people are 100%, and I've even been able to talk my grandpa into the value of cannabis. So, you know, I think a lot of Texas is ready for it. The people are.
Yeah, I mean, people think of Texas as the buckle in the Bible Belt. But the folks here are starting to get it, that it's a medicine and that it could help a lot of people. So they just need to get in front of their legislators, call them, talk to them, email them, let them know this is a medicine that Texans need to have access to. So what's next for you? Are you continuing, you're continuing with DFW Normal? Are you appearing at any events or anything?
Well, I will be speaking at the March in May. As far as events before then, I'm not really sure. I'm just there whenever they ask me to do whatever they need me for. I'm pretty much here to work. You know, I'm an activist every day, so I'm here to do whatever they need. And as far as that, I've just been doing art to pass my time because it's really calming to my soul.
Is this your art that we see here on the table?
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful. They got the one that looks like the Van Gogh, and we got one that looks like a Texas flag with an eagle and a cannabis leaf and an owl here, and there's some beautiful work here.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been painting?
I actually only started in August.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're doing great. That's amazing.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Barbara Humphreys, you've done so much for so many by getting your story out there, and other people are going to hear your story and recognize, hey, she's like me. I can get through this. And I think you give people a lot of hope. Was it scary for you staying here in Texas? Did you have any problems with law enforcement during this time?
Yes, it was scary. And yes, I did have a problem with law enforcement. I also had a problem with CBS during this time because I have two young kids. Okay. And so someone made a phone call. They showed up at my house. I was honest with them because I find it hard to lie in general. I thought I was going to have a lot of problems. They were actually really understanding. They dropped my case, told me that if they were in my shoes, they would smoke a joint too.
Wow.
So, I mean, even people in high platforms like that are starting to come around.
I think a lot of them, some of these DAs are starting to recognize the negative public relations if they took these cases to trial. Do you think that had an effect?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Good luck with your art today, and so glad you're cancer-free.
Thank you. Me too. Yay!
All right, we'll be back with more from Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo right after this. Always great to see Barbara Humphreys and all the good folks here with DFW Normal. I'm live in Arlington, Texas. The sun has gone down, and we're preparing for the Stoner Jesus Show, which is coming up next here on CannabisRadio.com. I looked up and realized it's just 3 minutes till the top of the hour. Better cue the close. I'm out of here. I got to head to Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo in Fort Worth, Texas, the premier tattoo shop in the DFW area. Thomas Barrington going to be updating my tattoo. We got to add Anchorage, Columbus, Richmond, and a Jamaican flag. So pray for me, Stoner Jesus. I'm going to be in a lot of pain. For everyone here at Dubious Studios, DFW Normal, and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. We love you.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.